You're listening to Valley Public Radio. I'm Joe Moore. The Fresno Philharmonic pays tribute to the centennial birthday of American composer, conductor, and educator Leonard Bernstein with a concert this Sunday at the Soroyan Theater. Maestro Ray Hotoda leads the Fresno Philharmonic in Bernstein's Serenade for Violin and Orchestra with special guest Jennifer Coe, as well as John Adams' Short Ride in a Fast Machine and Copland's Third Symphony. Ray Hotoda and Jennifer Coe join us now. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Ray, I want to start with you. This has to be a special occasion to celebrate an American composer in a centennial year. With so many great works by Leonard Bernstein, why this particular one, the Serenade for Violin and Orchestra?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Bernstein's known for West Side Story and the beautiful melody, Maria, in that wonderful Broadway musical. And so, you know, and he was also an incredible conductor, New York Philharmonic music director. But with so much of his output, you know, I thought it'd be so interesting to do something a little bit different, kind of taking a wider scope of who he was and maybe kind of more introspective. And this is definitely a more introspective piece of his, maybe one that might not be familiar to most people. And I wanted to expose the audience to something a little bit different, another side of Bernstein.
Yeah. Now, Bernstein, in writing about this piece, said it has no literal program. But then he went on to write a series of descriptions for the listener, saying it's inspired by Plato's The Symposium. Does anything like that play into your interpretation of the work? Do you reference what a composer may have written about a work when you think about how you want to present it? Or do you just look at the score and go from there?
Well, it's interesting. I tried to read The Symposium and I got so far and, you know, I have so little time. But, you know, I wanted to get a context of it for sure. And but I find this piece to be autobiographical in a way. All the five movements really reflect who he was as a musician, as an artist, as an educator. But really, I'm looking that perspective, looking into the personal side of who he was. You know, the first movement being grandiose, the second movement being a little bit more playful, and then at the very end, the last movement being a little bit jazzy. And so, you know, again, incorporating the multifaceted person that he was.
Turning to you, Jennifer, now as soloist for this work, what about your thoughts on this piece and how do you approach something like this?
I think it's similar to what Ray said, where you just kind of look at the music itself. I did read Plato's Symposium when I first did this piece, I don't know, a long time ago, many years ago, I guess. And it does kind of fit with the last movement, especially because by the end of the symposium, it's kind of like this drunken dinner party. And in a sense, like the last movement, it's kind of like a party. Like it does start with these duos, this kind of duo with the principal cello, but it just turns kind of raucous at the end. And it's so much fun to play.
Tell us a little more about your music and your career, Jennifer, for our listeners who might not be familiar with your work. One of the things that really stood out for me in looking at your recorded output and the concerts that you do is the breadth of music that you have under your belt, from early music to very contemporary pieces and a lot of projects. You have a lot of different, what maybe some people might say side projects, but they're really more than side projects. Tell me a little more about your philosophy and how you approach not a piece like this, but your overall career in having a lot of different ventures as a musical entrepreneur, I guess you could say.
Well, I think a lot about service, right? So I think a lot about the communities that I go into and that I play in, like Fresno. I think a lot about my colleagues and my fellow artists and how I can serve them and how I can serve the communities that I work in. And ultimately, I think a lot about how I can serve the art form of classical music. And for me, a lot of that is about commissioning new work. I think this is an art form that started, classical music is an art form that started in Western Europe. And because of the historic circumstances and the societal circumstances, it's populated, a lot of the music is populated, of course, by dead white guys, right? But this is a living and breathing art form that I believe should reflect our societies and our communities that we live in. And that means expanding it. So that is really about inclusivity. I think when we think about women composers and women conductors, and me also, of course, being female, and we might not have had a place, you know, had we been alive 200 years ago, but we certainly have a place now. And I think that females make 50% of the population, actually a little bit more. And I think women have things to say, too.
And what do you want to say, especially given the climate that we are in right now? There's a lot of renewed interest and attention being paid to the Me Too movement and those sorts of things. Does that factor into the contemporary issues that are alive in society today? How do they factor in to your conception of music? And Ray, I'll also address this to you, but Jennifer, how do you feel that classical musicians can keep their works front of mind given the social context of today?
Well, I think we need to engage with the fact that a lot of segments of the population, I'm American, I was born here. My parents were immigrants, so I'm first generation American. And even from my own experience, there are many stories to be told. And there's no better communicator of human experience and human emotion than music. So even if we bring this all back to the Bernstein Serenade, we see how he was also the son of immigrants. He's inspired by African-American music, which is jazz. He also brought in elements, I think, metrically from Stravinsky, who is also an immigrant. And so this piece is really, the Bernstein Serenade is really about celebrating what America is. And I think a lot of what can make music great is by giving voice to experiences that not everybody has every single day. And I think for me, when I go to a concert or a live performance, I want to go on an emotional journey that I might not have had that day, but I want to be elevated or transported to a different emotional place. And I want to have that experience of empathy. And so I think as musicians, we have a great kind of platform to bring these different experiences, whether they're female, whether they're from people of color, that maybe not everybody has experienced those things, but we're able to bring that very core human experience to these larger audiences. And so I do feel that it's, as a performer, I feel a responsibility to bring forward these kinds of composers and expand that field as well with performers as well. So the next kind of big project that I'm doing is called Limitless, and I very consciously made the composers inclusive, and they're 9 composers and they're all performing composers, and it reflects the world that I want to live in. And it gives voice to female composers and people of color. And I want to hear what their musical experiences and their life experiences have been through their music. And we're performing together in order to kind of obliterate that wall between composer and performer. So there is a musical kind of kernel that inspires these projects all the time. But it's also about creating space for people that didn't necessarily have that space before.
That voice you hear, Jennifer Coe, a violin soloist performing this weekend with the Fresno Philharmonic. Ray, I want to turn to you, as I know you're eager to jump in on that. How do you think contemporary issues can influence classical music from your perspective in performing works that, in this case, a piece written in the middle of the last century? How do you feel these fit in?
Oh, I think it's empowering right now what's happening socially. And, just bringing to the forefront that women have you know, something to say. And I just feel that this community already has embraced me in their community, and it's just been a wonderful season so far, just getting the response from the audience and the music making that we're doing on stage and how it's affecting the people in the audience. It's just a wonderfully empowering experience. But it really gives me more strength to say, okay, next season, let's program another female composer. Or there's so many factors. What Jennifer was saying is fantastic, and I totally agree with inclusivity. But here, I'd like to bring back the connection with Bernstein. I worked with Marin Alsop, who was a protege of Bernstein. And the one thing that she kind of, shared with me about Bernstein was that, you know, there was a story behind everything he did, whether he was conducting or composing. And this story was what he wanted to bring to the performance and really wanted to project to the audience. And so Marin, when she was mentoring me, she's like, well, what's the story behind this symphony, or what are you trying to convey here in this melody? And so this whole narrative of stories and you know, that personal experience that people can enjoy in music, whether it's X, Y, and Z, you know, everyone has their own experience when they come to concerts. And so as long as they have something to hang on to when they're listening, I think is so powerful. And it empowers people to say, oh, I can feel sad in this moment, or I can feel like connected to that melody somehow. It's making me think of my, you know, grandparents when they emigrated here, or, you know, the human spirit behind the music that we're going to be playing this weekend, I think hopefully really projects to the audience.
Now, this concert is billed from the top line as being about Bernstein, but one could also say it's about American composers and also those who influenced Leonard Bernstein, and then Leonard Bernstein who influenced others.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the Copland Third Symphony.
Yes. So
and how that fits in.
Sure. Well, Leonard Bernstein and Aaron Copland were friends and colleagues, even though Copland was much older than he was. But Bernstein really championed American music. And it's so interesting now that we have YouTube and access to all these footage from the 90s, even, you know, I was watching him conduct these wonderful students at Tanglewood and conducting the Symphony No. 3 by Copland. And to watch him rehearse, you know, all the things that I'm rehearsing this week, it's so fascinating.
What is that experience like, watching a legendary conductor do the exact same piece?
Oh, I took a lot of notes. But it's amazing to see, you know, him really care about, you know, bringing out this line or that line, or bringing out these instruments in the orchestration, and not just say, you know, this is a colleague of mine, I'm just going to conduct it and promote his music, but he really cares about the music, and it shows in the rehearsal footage. But I think, you know, what he did for American music is so pivotal to all of us in the classical music world. Not only did he foster the next generation of musicians, but he really, really propelled American music to the forefront in his young people's concerts. You know, the televised series that he had with the New York Philharmonic, to conducting and commissioning pieces and premiering new works by American composers. So I wanted to kind of honor him in that way with these other American pieces.
What should listeners maybe listen for or look for in the Third Symphony? What stands out to you?
Well, it was written towards the end of World War II, and it's the last movement really displays it's the fanfare for the common man is played throughout that last movement. And there's this sound of American. So this whole concert's really about American sound. You know, what is that? And with these three composers, you really hear that. And it's so exciting for me to be able to do all three at once, you know, in one program. And to really I think you can hear the connection between all three composers and what makes that American sound. So I want the listeners to come out saying, oh, I did hear the American sound, whether, you know, if it was the Fanfare for the Common Man that they could relate to, or the first movement of the Bernstein Serenade, you know, to the woodblocks at the very beginning of the John Adams Short Ride in a Fast Machine.
Let's talk about that piece now, moving up a generation in American composers. You always try to fit a more contemporary work into your programs. How does this piece fill that role?
Oh, I think orchestrationally it's brilliant. He's considered a minimalist composer, but at the very end you hear this fanfare, a brass fanfare, and I feel that it really has a direct correlation to the Fanfare for the Common Man. So I want listeners to really listen for that, the audience to really listen for that as this piece kind of sweeps through the hall. basically, you get into the fastest car possible and you just go. And that's what the orchestra does. And what holds it all together is this metronomic wood block that's played throughout the whole piece. So it's a fascinating rhythmic piece. And again, the colors from the orchestra, you probably have never heard an orchestra sound like that before.
Talking with Ray Hatoda about this concert coming up on Sunday, featuring the Fresno Philharmonic, three works by American composers, Jennifer Coe with us as well. She's the violin soloist on the Bernstein Serenade for Violin and Orchestra. I want to turn to you and follow up on what Ray just talked about that American sound. You talked about Bernstein being influenced by all of these different streams. Is that what the American sound is to you?
I think America is what we dream it to be and what we want it to be. But I was thinking about what Ray was saying about Short Ride in a Fast Machine, mm-hmm. and how that's so quintessentially American, that idea of the car and that freedom and riding in the wind with the top down. And I was thinking about how Bernstein is so very quintessentially American, too, and pulling from all of these different immigrants and himself being an immigrant. And I'm thinking of Copland and how he kind of captured, you know, both the West and the East Coast and kind of brought them together. And so I think it's really, when I think about this program in its entirety, it really is about all these different facets of America. And it's really... it's a beautiful program.
We're looking forward to hearing it on the stage of the Soroyan Theater again Sunday at the Fresno Philharmonic's latest concert. Maestro Ray Hatoda, Jennifer Coe, both with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.